all of these snapping fingers that you hear over that hot theme song are done live.
That's live.
I'm doing them live. See, I can stop just like that. They stop like that. They come back in. I just do that. Every show I do that because I think that live music is really the backbone of entertainment. So I try to put a little bit of live music in. I'm also, I don't know if I've mentioned this in any of those shows. I probably haven't. But I'm playing bass on that track.
Really?
The hot bass player on that track. And and as who the I is, and we don't really have an antecedent at this point, Penn Jillette is who I am. Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada. Penn Jillette, the larger half of Penn & Teller, as they say kindly. Yes. The fatter one of Penn & Teller. The taller one of Penn & Teller.
More than 50%.
The more, by weight. the more aggressive.
By mass.
On stage, the more aggressive of Penn & Teller.
Very sweet.
Teller is very kind of laid back and kind of... very gentle on stage. Not the way he is backstage.
Let's say good morning. Good morning, Teller.
Good morning, Teller. Good morning, Lance Burton.
That's right.
We always like to wake up Lance Burton. They both get up about this time. Not that Lance and Teller are sleeping together. Although if Lance and Teller were sleeping together, all of our careers would be better. Just no doubt about it. It would be like, you know, covers of magazines and stuff.
Right.
It'd be a good thing. But Teller is not kind of laid back off stage, but on stage I'm yelling at people almost all the time. You know, what's his name, the Louis, who's the comic, the
Anderson,
Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson,
yeah. That's not one you expect to have to have.
I wasn't ready for that. I'm sorry, not in my notes.
No, we never said any. We've never spoken, you and I, about Louis Anderson.
I like Louis Anderson.
I do.
We're going to speak about him.
Very nice guy. But he came to our show on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And afterward, he was very kind about the show. He really liked it. And or he said he really liked it. That's the definition of kind.
Well, you said kind, yes.
Yeah, kind.
We covered that.
And he said he really enjoyed all the people sitting in the audience from the Midwest going, why is he yelling at us? What did we do wrong? He's funny. We're applauding. Why is he yelling at us? So I guess that's part of the question is, why do I yell? I yell at people because I love them.
It's a tough love thing.
And because I never really trust theatrical miking. You know, I worked for years.
It's a street show thing. Yeah,
sure. I worked for years as a street performer, and you get so used to yelling, you know? You yell in your show.
I do yell
But you have
show.
A happy yell with your little giggle. How was your show last night?
Were you there? I killed.
Did you drop any?
Of course not.
Never.
It's been 600 shows since I dropped. 600 shows.
You're counting the handle of the chainsaw flying into the audience?
I didn't drop it. Okay. It flew off. But I continued to juggle.
Okay.
I was successful.
Okay.
We had a good night.
What day is it today?
Wednesday.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Cheese and rice. I am in trouble. So tomorrow it's going in, and I just worked on the script this morning a little bit, but I haven't memorized it yet.
Okay. And so, it's in tomorrow. But
because I memorize everything.
You're
very
quick, yeah.
Every one of these shows we do that we've done so far on Free FM.
You were up all night?
Memorized. It's typed out. I put it all down there, all the ums, all the ahs. You see right here in the script it says, Louis, what's that guy's name? You know, the comic, the big guy. And then you say, look. It's all typed out. And that's the genius of it. The genius of it is making it seem spontaneous. You know, Groucho did not ad-lib, hardly ever. Groucho was like one of the funniest people that
right.
ever lived. Didn't really ad-lib. Those movies where it seems like he's going off book, he's really not. Nell, who I've talked about before on the show, was at this... I now report of other people going to shows, because I do my show at night, do the radio show during the day. There's no time to experience anything, so it's all secondhand. But Nell said she went to the guy who wrote At the Circus, the Marx Brothers movie, was giving a lecture. And he's like, you know, in his 90s now or something. And they showed At the Circus, and then he talked about the Marx Brothers movie, and said that Groucho did not like... to ad lib at all, wanted it all laid out. Same thing on this show. Surgical precision, every single thing. If you want to call in and throw off our precision, because we can't have the call scripted, it's 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, and that's for Free FM, meaning we talk about whatever the hell we want to. We like to keep it off. You know, we don't do... there's obvious reasons for this. We haven't done a lot of sex stuff, don't intend to. We don't do a lot of political stuff. I don't even know what we do. It's so free. free. We don't do much of anything, but it's all scripted up. But 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, and if you need numbers, that's 3733-FREE is what we are. Free FM.
Free
Even
FM.
The word sounds nice. Free.
Free. Free. You know, we did get some emails.
I know we got some emails. Some people call in. If you want to send emails, because we really do pay more attention to the emails and we do the phone calls.
We do.
And also, it's just Penn Radio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, at gmail.com. And we get Gmails, and we talk about the Gmails. We plan. We write a script out about the Gmails. And so really do write the Gmails to us. Also, the website is PennRadio.com.
That's how
you spell it. PennRadio.com. And you can go there, and you can tell your friends to listen to it streaming, and you can also, perhaps, we'll talk about this news story maybe. There's a law about not allowed to be annoying.
You can't annoy anyone
anymore.
You
can't be annoying anonymously. You can't anonymously annoy. No anonymous annoying on email or anything to do with the internet. Yeah, you can't do that. But we'll get to that a little bit. We could have talked to Bob Gordon Revere, the Penn Jillette Show First Amendment attorney and good friend. I also went to the porno show with him. I want to talk about the porno show, too. But you've got an email that you're just itching to read.
I am.
You've been holding it in your hand.
You have apparently annoyed the Newfoundlanders.
Oh,
we have a couple of emails. You know, one is pretty succinct.
I don't think our show even airs in Newfoundland.
They're apparently more clever than you had expected.
And you have to pronounce it right. Okay.
Oh, okay.
It rhymes with understand. Newfoundland.
Newfoundland.
Understand Newfoundland.
Newfoundlanders.
Understand Newfoundland.
Understand Newfoundlanders have written, pretty succinct in this one, you big stupid a-hole, and I'm paraphrasing there, come to Newfoundland and make those comments.
Mm-hmm.
He's threatening you.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Did he sign
we
it?
We know who it is. Yeah, it's Keith.
So it's not anonymous. So
it's not anonymous.
He's
That's
okay.
perfectly legal.
And he did not annoy me at all. You know, I went to Newfoundland. You know, Newfoundland, understand. I went to Newfoundland as a honeymoon with my wife.
Yeah.
You know, most people go to tropical areas.
I went
to the frozen north. And it was the first vacation I took. I mean, the first time I actually took a time off and went somewhere and didn't work. It was the first time I'd done that in like 8 years. So this is a big deal. You know, it's 8 years, and I have the jingle. I could have gone anywhere. I chose Newfoundland, and my wife also wanted to go to Newfoundland.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't married when we took our honeymoon, but that's the way the kids are doing it now. You do things, you jumble them out of
it's
order.
A test drive.
test drive. And you've always had advice on honeymoons, that they should be to desolate, difficult
yes,
places.
Yes, that is my
to
advice.
To find out if the marriage is
going
to last.
You should test your marriage in some... You should go somewhere where there are many, many mosquitoes or there's
we didn't
awful.
Go that time of year in Newfoundland, but Newfoundland does have, I believe, mosquitoes. And also little flies that bite.
Oh, the black flies. Yes.
The black flies, yeah. Ugh. We didn't go during that season. And Newfoundland was one of the most beautiful places we'd ever been. The reason we went there is that my grandfather and grandmother, who I never knew, they were dead before I was born, were Newfoundlanders.
Mm-hmm.
They were from Newfoundland. And all the time growing up, my dad would tell wonderful stories about Newfoundland, which he'd only been to once, and it was after he told these stories. We do things out of order in my family. And the surprising thing is, you know, I'm from Western Massachusetts, as goyim as you can get, just a small town, you know, a dead factory town named Greenfield in Massachusetts, right near Amherst there. And my wife is like half Connecticut, half Florida, but although not raised with religion, she's ethnically Jewish. And her grandmother is from Newfoundland.
Uh-huh.
And when she asked her grandmother if they knew anybody up there named Gillette, she said, "You mean besides my mother's maiden name?" So her great-grandmother shares the same name as my grandfather, although my grandfather changed the spelling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the rich Gillettes are spelled G-I-L-L-E-T-T-E, and my Gillette is spelled J-I-L-L-E-T-T-E. But my grandfather changed that spelling because he thought that G went G and J went J. a real genius. My my grandfather was a real genius, and they always made jokes about Newfies being stupid, and that's what I thought was so beautiful. You know,
right?
I thought it was. And we went up to Newfoundland, and they were great people, and of course they're not stupid. There's no place on earth where people are stupid. I mean, I really believe in individuals. I mean, this is like breaking all the rules of comedy, but you know, all the stuff they talk about when they talk about Jews and blacks,
right, sure.
And everybody's act on the radio is fraudulent. It's a complete lie because it's all individuals. That's all that matters. If there's one idea the people of this country have, is that the individual matters. So it doesn't matter what ethnicity you are.
So we have to lose the Belgian jokes?
Yeah, all the Belgian jokes.
Oh, man.
I mean, that was the point of the you know, when Monty Python would do those jokes, is that you can pick any word and just talk about it, you know? And we made, you know, when we were doing the Q&A for the Aristocrats.
Right.
The Aristocrats is coming out on DVD, and we did this big Q&A. Mm-hmm. Sarah Silverman, Bob Saget, Jason Alexander, Andy Dick. We're all doing this Q&A thing there, and I did some. They were doing heavy Jew jokes. They do a lot of Jewish jokes, and I joined in. And afterward, one of the guys from the movie company that put out The Aristocrats said I was coming off as making too many jokes about not liking Jews. And now my own people, the Newfoundlanders, who I mean. You can't be proud. I'm proud of my family and who I am and stuff like that.
You're wearing a Newfoundland T-shirt today.
I'm wearing
today.
A Newfoundland T-shirt today.
And not a printed.
No.
No, this is an embroidered Newfoundland T-shirt.
An embroidered Newfoundland shirt. And it's from a town called Dildo.
Well.
There's a place in Newfoundland called...
Did we have to add that?
Yeah, sure we did. And this is part of what Newfoundlanders are like. They know that that is a silly name for a town.
Well.
And so all they have in that town is like a post office where you can mail your postcards and a gift shop.
Right.
That just have everything with Dildo written on it.
Well, it's a good idea.
Sure, of course it is.
Boosted the
tourist
industry.
That's what you do. Sure it does. And Newfoundlanders, I love the fact... I mean, when we were in Newfoundland, my wife and I... checking out our incestuous past. We were kind of going around there, and you go to a store, you know, and everybody's really good-natured. Everything's a small town up there because it's, you know, it's a size geographically of, like, you know, the United States. And, like, you know, a few thousand people live there. I mean, I believe there are more moose in Newfoundland than there are people. But I just made that up, so it's probably not true. Certainly more puffins. Certainly more...
Plenty of puffins.
Plenty of puffins.
It's just fun to say, too.
Plenty of puffins. And so it's got this real small-town, groovy atmosphere, you know?
Right.
And so I buy, like, a cup of coffee, and I give the woman $20 American, you know, because that's what I had.
Right.
And she's going to break it. And she says to me, she just looks me in the eye and says... Well, this is going to take a while, because I'm not very smart. I mean, now that doesn't mean she's calling all the Newfie people stupid. That's just having a good time. And you know how...
Just making a joke.
Making a joke. And all the people up there made jokes about Newfoundland and had fun with it. So I was joining in, you know? And when I said...
You wanted to be part of the in crowd.
When I said I was big and stupid, I mean, I am 6'6", I'm 285 pounds, and I'm dumb as a doorknob. You know, and I happen to be a Newfie. That doesn't mean, I mean, I'm an American, right? I mean, I was born in this country, just like Bruce Springsteen. And his name is Dutch.
It's a heritage thing.
His name is Dutch. But I was, you know, my family, on my father's side, are from. Now, read the other letter, because you had another letter, too, there. You said.
Well, yeah.
And it wasn't just calling me an a-hole.
A little longer.
I hope this guy's listening. We're going to read your letter.
He's a Newfoundlander. He's neither big nor does he consider himself stupid.
Okay, good.
Okay. The province of Newfoundland and Labrador have produced more Rhodes Scholars per capita than any province in Canada.
Now, okay, per capita. You know, that's like Clinton per capita. That's
in
like
Canada.
Being a Rhodes Scholar from Massachusetts, New York, or California is a bigger deal than being a Rhodes Scholar from Arkansas. And I'm not going to get political here, but it is a bigger deal because they do it from each... Anyway, okay, so Rhodes Scholar
from Canada. Award-winning university, one of the best med schools in Canada.
How can they have a med school? There's no... See, this is the thing. Newfoundlanders are the most brilliant people on the planet. There's 2,000 people up there.
I mean,
that's not the... I have a computer right in front of me. I could look up the population of Newfoundland, but I'd rather make it up.
It's more fun.
Okay, good.
We're very proud of hard-working people.
I think it's like a few million. It's under a few million. I mean, the population is lower than Vegas. ridiculous for all of Newfoundland. I just made that up, too. Go ahead.
Okay.
But there are a lot of puffins. They're lousy with puffins. Puffin crazy. If you're queer for puffins, get your ass
Newfoundland.
To Newfoundland, where the smart, where the there's a whole race of tiny, smart people. Einsteins that are like 4 foot. It's like pygmies, genius pygmies. Thus, pygmies aren't geniuses. All pygmies are geniuses. All Newfies are all ethnic races are human beings that are honest and genius. And the only big, dumb guy is me. Penn Jillette, big dumb guy, speaking for
no
race.
A lot of covering.
No race. Go ahead. Keep going with the letter.
I'm lost in the letter. What are you talking about, the letter? Keep reading the letter. I read one word, you start yelling.
Okay. Read more of
They're
the letter.
They're trying to make it a go of it on an island out in the North Atlantic.
Well, see, that's not...
That's not so smart. Okay.
That's not saying it's smart.
That's not saying it's smart.
That's. I mean, that's. He's just saying that. That's not making his point. That's just a little parenthetical comment. Because smart people might go where there's... Where food grows.
Sure.
For instance. Go ahead.
I simply cannot understand.
I live in the desert, so shut up with the smart people go where food go. Shut up. I live in the desert. I'm big and stupid. Newfies are geniuses. Go on.
Why are we being attacked so viciously for no apparent reason?
Not viciously. With love. As Kinky Friedman said, I joke with my friends. I don't joke with my enemies. Not vicious. Not vicious. Trying, clawing desperately on this island, this frozen rock of an island that is my combative talent. I'm trying to eke out a living. That's no vicious. Go ahead.
Mike travels frequently to Las Vegas.
Well, say hi. Say hi. Mike is his name.
Mike Wade.
Mike Wade. Mike Wade. Not anonymous. Honest, hardworking, short, smart guy.
Who travels to Vegas frequently.
Okay, good. Say hi.
Because he lives on a frozen island in North Atlantic.
Wants to go somewhere else where nothing grows.
He's been always telling his friends to catch the show. But
the show would be the Penn and Teller show at the Penn and Teller Theater at the Rio. Go ahead.
He's now going to dissuade everyone he knows from ever contributing to your endeavor.
No, Mike.
Yours in contempt. Yours
in contempt?
That's how he signed it.
Yours in contempt. I really was, you know.
It's misspelled.
Don't point that out. That's not fair.
Kidding.
All he wants out of me maybe is I'm sorry. Not because, you know, that he comes here and I don't want his, you know, his $70 for our show or something. That's not it. It's
$70?
Yeah. What is your show?
Yeah, $70.
Okay. it's that I'm, you know, yes, there's no nothing, any ethnic slurs we do, we don't mean. I mean, Bobcat Goldthwait used to do this great thing in his show, and Bobcat's one of the finest comedians ever, and very moral, high-minded guy, great guy. And Bobcat used to say, I love ethnic jokes, and I tell them to my friends, but I'm not going to do any in my show, because some of you might not know me well enough, and you might misinterpret. So, that's what happened. I should have learned from Bobcat, a brilliant guy, but instead I attacked the Newfies. But, you know, it's really good I attacked the Newfies and not the Jews, because Jews are smart. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goodell. We're in Las Vegas. We'll be back after this. I didn't mean anything. There are some big guys in Newfoundland, but there are some dumb guys. With a live finger snaps, finger popping here in Las Vegas. This is Penn Jillette, the big dumb guy who loves Newfoundland and all its residents. Right here, sitting here with Michael Goodell, and you, the name Goodell, also comes somewhere. Your people,
Cajun, yes,
Cajun, but isn't that previously Canada?
Yes, it's Newfoundlanders that moved to somewhere warm. We moved somewhere where there were crawfish.
Yeah.
Because we were sick of cod.
Cod tongues. They have cod tongues up there.
Yeah, see?
And
crawfish,
a lot,
much better than cod tongues.
A lot of fish and chips. Which fish and chips were great up there. It's a good place. And now I got one guy up there that's going to kick my ass. Another guy that's dissuading people. I was talking to my wife about when our kids get a little older, we should go to Newfoundland. And now I've ruined that. I've now ruined that. My family is familia non grata. And maybe my family's okay. Maybe they would welcome Moxie, Zoltan, and Easy up there with open arms. But it seems like at least two guys and Newfoundland. It rhymes with understand. Newfoundland are going to be going to be upset. There's a lot of they have great jokes, and all the jokes they told me up there were jokes that were self-deprecating. You know,
sure.
they did that really. It's like Yankee, right? I'm from New England, you know,
right.
And we use the term Yankee. And as far as I understand, my knowledge of American history is not much greater than my knowledge of Newfoundland. But Yankee was an insult term. I mean, it still is, certainly, for most of the world. And the song Yankee Doodle was a put-down. You know, the British were putting down the Americans, you know, with that whole macaroni thing. This was like fighting words. Or we did. What the Yankees did was adopt that, just to
sure.
throw a curve to the British.
Take the kick out of the word.
Absolutely. And I
idea.
Thought it was a great thing. And but, of course, it's not my right. I can call myself a Yankee, you know. And, you know, there's all the stuff up there is called Yankee. Yankee Candle Company. Is the like the biggest industry near Greenfield, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
called Yankee, you know? And I saw stuff up in Newfoundland called Newfie. And Newfie, you know, is supposed to be some sort of insult, but it wasn't, you know? It was just up there. So I'm done with that. Yesterday we talked about getting Al Goldstein a job.
Right.
$10 an hour, you can have an aging pornographer who fought for free speech. Really, write to penradio@gmail.com. If you got a job, any sort of job that Al could do, man. He's one of the really important people in American history. And now he doesn't even want handouts. He doesn't want people to send him money. He wants a gig, a job, you know? If you need advice on the porno industry, if you need advice on how to, you know, go to jail, Al would be good in all those things. We also talked a lot about JFK. And we got some letters about the JFK assassination because we were talking about this new footage. If you do a search for Zapruder Stable, you'll get to see it. It's really scary footage, very bothersome. You know, maybe you should know about it. Maybe you don't want to watch it.
Sure.
Very uncomfortable. But it does seem to make it look like we have yet more proof it was Lee Harvey Oswald. And the guy sent in a lot of the stuff you usually hear from conspiracy people.
Sure,
and and we're not going to read the whole letter. It's, you know, it's stuff about them, the way the Secret Service acted when the shots were fired, the fact that the car did not slow down, the fact there weren't people right there, and the fact that some people ran toward the grassy knoll. When there are gunshots, when I've been on the street when there are gunshots, and I have,
mm-hmm.
I run in the opposite direction. And that is unusual. It's unusual to be that cowardly.
Perhaps the newfie blood.
Michael
sorry.
Goudeau.
You know,
Michael.
It was just a joke. It just you stepped right in the way of that oncoming joke, and I apologize. I didn't mean it in any way.
I try to train my wife, who also mm-hmm. has newfie blood, to go away from danger when mm-hmm. you're here. You know, like firemen, policemen. You know, when there's something burning or there's smoke or there's mm-hmm. gunshots,
sure.
they should run towards it. I mean, that's their job
right.
and that's why they're heroes. But the rest of us who are not heroes, and I'm not a hero, run the other way. So the idea that people in Dealey Plaza would have run away from where the gunshot was as opposed to toward the grassy knoll makes perfect sense to me. It's coming from the book depository. Let's haul ass. Let's get out of here. What are we doing? You know, so I don't know. But I'm not going to do a lot. We also talked a lot about Wayne Newton yesterday. And you also said, besides the Lance Burton secret, which you do know the Lance Burton secret.
Yes.
Right. You just promised you wouldn't tell me. Because your first allegiance is to Lance Burton.
Well, I don't tell your secrets to Lance.
Okay, so your allegiance is to both sides.
My allegiance is to my friends.
There are terms for
if
that.
If a friend asks not to pass on the secret, I don't pass it on.
Let me just ask you one question. I'm not going to do like 20 questions.
Okay.
And I will respect your so-called friendship with Lance Burton, which could also be seen as sucking up to your boss.
It could be seen as that.
Yeah. And I just want to ask you, would I care about this information?
No. I don't think so. I don't think it would hurt you. Or, you know, no.
I wouldn't even, wouldn't even talk about it unless you'd put the secret thing on it. But it's also possible because Lance is the master magician.
He could be setting me up.
With this perfectly adequate show. He could think I wouldn't care at all about this information,
mm-hmm.
call it secret, so that then I care about it and talk about it. I'm not going to play his game. I don't care about his secret information. What I do care about is that you said the people from Queer Eye.
Yes.
We're at the show.
We're in last night.
And they wanted to do
not the queer guys, but their staff.
Staff. You know, we don't, nobody that's on the air does the show. I've got nothing to do with this show. It's a script. I'm reading it off prompter. Very, very smart, connected people write everything I say. I'm reading it off a prompter that's in here, including this. They're people. They're the queer staff, the Queer Eye staff, said that they wanted to do a makeover of Lance Burton. Right?
Yes, they did. They wanted to help him dress a little nicer. You know, just the usual.
I know what they do.
You know what they do, sure.
I know what they do.
You've seen the show. They beat us for an Emmy, so we were angry.
They did beat BS for an Emmy. Ben & Teller's BS lost. We lost 1 year to Barbra Streisand.
Right.
We lost another year to Queer Eye.
Yeah.
For, like, best show. So there is a conspiracy.
Yeah, it's apparently against
Ben & Teller.
Not the Jews are not running Hollywood.
No. and Lance didn't want to do this because Lance thinks he doesn't need any advice whatsoever.
He thought it was self-evident why he didn't want to do it. He felt, he's a snappy dresser, wears a jacket all the time, sometimes with coveralls, but it's still a jacket.
Well, it's a time, and I wasn't going to say this about Lance, but since Lance refuses to let me in on one of his secrets, I'm going to tell another one of his secrets.
Uh-oh.
He cuts his hair with a Flobee.
He also wanted to talk to you about your hair.
I don't
he
cut my hair.
He thought perhaps, you know, you throwing hair comments was...
Right. I have hair that's very out of fashion, you know. My hair's down past my shoulders. It's wild man stupid hair that falls in my face. And on top of that, I try to play this I have no vanity card. Like, I just wear my hair anyway.
Sure.
But then on top of that, I dye my hair. So I've got the humiliation of the vanity coupled with it's not successful, right? It's just, if I were going to be really vain, I would dye my hair and also get it properly styled.
Perhaps Queer Eye will come and contact you.
I'd do it in a second. I would do Queer Eye. Would I cut my hair for Queer Eye? I don't know. If it was Sweeps Week, and we were selling The Aristocrats and my book, How to Cheat at Poker, and the BS, and we were selling the Ben & Teller Show. All of that stuff was sold, and it was Sweeps Week. Maybe I'd cut my hair for Queer Eye if my wife would let me. And I think that it's okay to say to the Queer Eye guys, you know, you're talking about making me more attractive. If my wife does not want it, what's their answer to that? You know, because none of the queer guys are going to have sex with me. I've tried that. You know,
didn't pay off.
No. There's never been. I may be the only guy in all these people. Like in Greenfield, there's all these people, redneck type people. You know, with that.
Oh,
slur.
Now we're going to get in trouble.
Oh no, they would say if you know. When gay guys come on to me, I tell them I'll just break their face. Well, it never happened. You know, you see who gay guys go out with. Gay guy goes out with other very attractive gay guys.
Yes, thin, good-looking fellas.
I don't think there's one gay guy on the planet that's saying, oh, man, if Penn Jillette would only turn. So the Queer Eye guys have to make that point. But let's go back. So my hair is long.
Right?
And stupid, and vainly
unkempt.
I dye it. And unkempt, and I dye it vainly. In vain, I dye it, and it's also because of vanity, I dye it. But Lance cuts his hair with a Flobee. And that's not some sort of, ooh, Penn picked out the right cultural reference, you know. It's Dennis Miller, Kierkegaard and the Flobee, you know. I didn't do any of that.
I was at a...
I mean it literally true. He uses a Flobee.
I was with him when he ordered it. The original one in 1970, we were sitting at a pizza place, and there was a TV, and they ran the ad, and he called on his cell phone, which was the size of a Volkswagen, to order the Flobee. He's cut my hair with the Flobee.
Oh,
it's been a while, but...
And it's attached to a vacuum cleaner, and it sucks up your hair.
It feels really good. I mean, maybe that's why he's doing it.
Because it feels good.
It feels
but
good.
You know what it does? It makes him look like K.D. Lang.
Think that's bad?
Okay, I may look like, you know, the guy from Flo and Eddie. I may look like the guy from the Turtles, you know. I may look like all of those guys. I may look like Captain Lou Albano, you know. there's a lot of people that I look like that it might not be. I may look like Andre the Giant, you know, now. But I don't, you know, look particularly like K.D. Lang. And K.D. Lang is very attractive, but is that what Lance wants to look like?
I think it is.
I mean, maybe he needs dyke eyes for the straight guy.
He's using her as a double in the show. He vanishes. K.D. Lang reappears.
And they have the same wardrobe. Yes, so it's totally okay. Lance.
Why would he mean Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
I think he does. I think we all do. I don't think there's anybody that can't use some improvement in there in the way they look. Now, I'm, you know, here I am, hair down my back. I'm wearing a Penn & Teller BS sweatshirt. I've got a dildo Newfoundland jacket on. I've got a belt that says No God. I've got jeans on. And I've got steel-toed work boots with white socks. Queer Eye, I need you. This is Las Vegas in a cry for help. Penn Jillette will be back very, very shortly, and we'll be talking some more. Maybe taking some phone calls. Remember, 866-313-FREE. If a good call comes in, I'll take it. I'll read the emails. I don't care. I know I need help. Forever. He's been on for like over 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
And then Sean, come on on. Let's talk to you. You there, Sean? Sean's on line 9, I believe.
Yeah.
New York, if you want to bring him on. We have to tell the line. You know, you really shouldn't. That's not really professional radio, but since it's being done in New York. Did Sean hang in for that whole amount of time?
Perhaps we're just on his call waiting
now. We're just on call waiting
30 minutes.
I wasn't going to talk anymore about clown porn, but I have a computer screen that tells me who's on what line. And Sean, usually people call, they say, you know, you're crazy. They're on top of the JFK thing.
Sure.
But then they hang up. But Sean didn't hang up. He wanted to talk about clown porn, and he was on it like a terrier on a slipper.
Yeah, he's probably bitterly disappointed by now.
Yeah, it's probably get a letter from tomorrow saying he's going to dissuade all his friends from ever seeing Penn & Teller because I wouldn't take his call about clown porn. We get another letter from...
Hey, wait.
You there?
Yeah.
Sean.
Hey, boss. How you doing, man?
I'm all right, dude.
Okay, thanks for waiting around for so long. I was just so embroiled in this Newfie thing that I didn't get to you. But go ahead, talk.
Well, you were talking a few days ago. You were at this convention.
Yeah.
And you got porn something convention. From these people, and
the
it was like
porn.
Clown porn.
Yeah.
And it bothered the living hell out of me because most people are like afraid of clowns.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you. Have you seen any clown porn?
I was afraid to Google it.
Yeah, the DVD that we got, if you're at all afraid of clowns, this is the most frightening cover you're going to see. It's a woman with a very traditionally attractive body, but then she has this huge mouth painted on, white makeup, huge tear. And then
again,
she's wearing...
bad clown makeup.
Yeah, she's wearing this long, red wig, and the guy that's doing her is wearing like one of those rainbow afro wigs.
Yeah.
And she's got a balloon, one of those long...
I think that's more than Sean wanted to hear.
...clown animal balloons in her private area. And the big headline is, you know, that this is clowns. I was just going to read the headline, then I realized, oh, that's got the word they really yell at you for.
You
but it says clowns having sex, but not in those words. You're afraid of clowns, is that right, Sean?
Well, I thought it was interesting, dude. I thought it was going to be like Ronald McDonald banging two hot blondes, but nah, I think I don't know.
No, see, but what, are you afraid of clowns? Are you really? You can tell the truth. You can talk to us. Michael Goudeau was a clown. The guy sitting across from me.
Yeah.
How many years were you a clown?
I was 2 years.
Why don't you just work it out with Sean? What bothers him? And just make him feel
just
better.
Make this a personal thing?
Yeah, tell him.
It's okay, man. We're just people in makeup. We're just
dude,
people
it's
being...
just that the whole stigma about clowns. You know, they drive around in that little buggy, and it's like 15 of them, and I'm afraid they're like going to kill me. And then you got...
Well, I shouldn't tell you, Sean, but your name is on our list.
How many clown murders have there been, Sean? Has there been anyone in clown makeup that's killed another person?
John Wayne Gacy?
Not in makeup, though.
He probably was in makeup.
Well, you think?
He probably was, because he used the clown makeup to do the kids' birthday parties, right? And I think, Sean, you're right. I think you're right to be frightened
by clowns. This was a career of mine now.
Not anymore.
Think about going back more.
You're a juggler now. Jugglers are way cooler than clowns.
Oh, man.
Hey, you know, Sean, thanks for hanging in there from Newark, man. Sean is, so far of everybody that's called in, Sean's my favorite.
Yeah, jugglers are cooler
than clowns.
I can't believe you said those
that's
words.
That's great. Thanks so much,
that.
Boss. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, another thing, Penn. I think you're one hell of a bass player.
Oh, thanks, man. Oh, man. Sean.
Sean must want a job.
Oh, man. Thank you, Sean. Thanks so much, man. See that? Hell of a bass player. Jugglers are cooler than clowns. You thought about the little car thing. Wasn't that Lou Jacobs' gag?
The little car thing was Lou Jacobs. He was a large guy like yourself, and he had a very, very small car. But what I think he's talking about is the Datsun B210 with 23 clowns in it.
Okay, he's not talking about the original gag?
No, I don't think he's talking about that.
He's talking about a TV commercial.
No, he's talking about we did that in the circus. I drove a Datsun B210 with 20 people in it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And how'd you do that?
Oh, well, we took out all the seats.
That's all?
All the seats, the decision that you can lay really close to other clowns.
Why?
Yeah. You can lay or lie really close to other clowns. If you can tolerate that, then you can do clown car.
Now, you're in comic of 80 shows a week. And yeah, people don't dry clean their costumes that often.
Not that often.
The thing my mother would be most concerned about is it funky in that car?
It's, yeah. Yes.
Way funky.
It's way funky in clown car. And, people do that, those sort of, clowns are not that sophisticated in their humor.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them, save up that sort of bodily function thing, and they save it for clown car, and they think that's really funny.
Oh, really? They do it on purpose.
Yeah, they do it on purpose.
See, that's the kind of joke, even though I did The Aristocrats, that's the kind of joke, and The Aristocrats has made, and I want you to read this list, the movie that I made this movie with Paul Provenza called The Aristocrats, yeah. Which was unrated. It wasn't even X-rated. It was considered more obscene than clown porn. And it has everybody in it. Gilbert Gottfried, Robin Williams, Whoopi Goldberg, Bob Saget. Everybody in the world is in this movie. And Paul Provenza did a brilliant job editing it. Our manager, Spicoli, was what we call him. His real name is Pete Golden. Changed our whole lives. He got The Aristocrats made.
Right.
He got this radio show done. He keeps Penn and Teller BS on the air. He got our underwater special going.
Spicoli.
Everything. Spicoli and Crasher are everything. He was bringing his kid to school, and his kid goes to private school, which just shows you how successful those projects are. That 15% puts his kid into private school. And he was wearing a hat that said The Aristocrats, uh-huh. Right? And he was called into the principal and said that one of the other parents had seen his hat and said that he had been doing pornography. He'd been doing pornography, and they didn't want his kind at the school. And what Spicoli did, and this is the genius of that smooth-talking surfer boy, is he doesn't say, no, what are you, crazy? He doesn't read the top 10 list like we're going to.
Right.
What he does is he gives the teacher a DVD of The Aristocrats. Or the principal, which is funny because we have made a solemn promise.
I believe that's already illegal, isn't it?
Way illegal. And on top of that, he gave me his word that the DVD was going to go to no one, bro. Right. It's going to no one, bro. But he gives it to the principal of the school. And the next, he or she, I don't know the sex, watches it over the weekend. Then the next day, the next Monday, they come in and say it was the greatest movie they ever saw in their lives. And he's welcome. And I'm hoping that they even said they were going to suspend the tuition, which is what they should do if they were good. But this Aristocrats movie, which is unrated and uses every obscenity possible multiple times. That one word that some people don't like, the worst word it's considered?
Sure.
It's in the movie 23 times.
Wow.
And even with that 23 times, this is going to be, it's out on CD right now in the movie that was in the
CD.
Theater and the audio CD on V2 Records and the DVD are all different program because we shot like 140 hours and Provenza edited different for every time. But this is the list the movie that some parent thought that Spicoli should have his kid thrown out of school for.
It's on
read
the top
that.
10 choices by what is this? 18 reviewers.
Did you just count that right away? Just like
I did.
Wow, that's cool.
Ain't it cool news? Capoon ranked. It's Art Form. John Waters ranked number 7.
Oh yeah.
The Austin Chronicle. Steve Davis ranked at number 7.
Sure.
Another reviewer at the Austin Chronicle. It sounds like they're all from Austin. They're not. Ranked at number 8. City Beat. Andy Klein ranked number 4. Dallas Morning News. Chris Vogner ranked at number 9.
Dallas Morning News. He's on television.
Dallas Morning
News.
And
he's giving it a top 10 for an unrated, filthy, obscene, vulgar movie that's funnier than the guys doing their bodily functions in the clown car.
New York Times, Robert Wolanski, rated
New York
it number
Times,
7.
Number 7.
New York Daily News ranked at number 7.
Oh,
New
man.
York Post ranked at number 10. New York Times, another
New York
reviewer.
Times, again, this is the guy,
Number two. Ranked at number two. A.O. Scott. Ranked
and
at number
A.O. Scott, and it's not number two for documentaries, I don't think.
No.
It's number two for all movies of the year. So that's the who you are dealing with, Newfoundland.
NPR ranked at number six.
No, you don't say NPR.
NPR. NPR rated at number six.
NPR rated at number six.
The Montreal Mirror rated at number eight.
Montreal's Canada Show. NPR rated number six, The Aristocrats. That's the voice you use for that.
All right, well, the Real Detroit Weekly rated at number one.
Woohoo! You can do that for Detroit. Woohoo!
Detroit!
NPR said number eight. Woohoo! Detroit says number one! Let's take, there's a bunch more, and I just wanted to make that point.
The list goes on forever.
Now, I haven't talked at all about Spicoli, but I will be in the future. He's the person that runs our life along with Crasher, and we'll talk a lot more about Crasher. Crasher's at least another five shows in the future. But can we take Ray, and he's on line eight, because he has a clown story? Let's talk clown. Ray, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys.
How you doing, boss?
There's Ray. Howdy, Ray.
What do you got?
Oh, all right. You know, I don't know how true this story is. I mean, you hear rumors, and you know, they get spread, and the story changes. But this is a story I heard, which I thought was pretty crazy.
Uh-huh.
There was a girl babysitting, young girl, probably 16, babysitting two young children.
Tell it slow.
And she was going to get the kids' bedrooms ready to go, you know, put them to bed, and uh-huh. she had left them downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
She goes upstairs and she sees leaning up against the door a clown about 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had the fear of clowns like many people do. And she's like looking at it and thinking, oh my God, that thing is disgusting. I hate, bugging out, getting all freaked out. So she just walks past it, doesn't think anything of it. And then she, you know, gets the beds ready. Starts to walk past it again to go downstairs to get the children, and she sees its eyes move. So she thinks it's a figment of her imagination, but she freaks out, calls the parents, says, you know, listen, I have a fear of clowns. Can I do something with that clown? Can I put it in a closet? It's really bothering me. And the mother goes, what clown? I don't have a clown. And she says, do me a favor, get the hell out of my house. Get the hell out of the house now. Take the kids and get out. So she goes to the neighbor's house. They call the cops. The clown never left. Cops come, arrested the clown, and it was a known pedophile in the area.
A known 2 foot tall pedophile.
Known 2 foot tall pedophile? Boy, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Ray. Thanks a lot. Yeah, we go right to Snopes for that. I don't think there's a chance that's true.
I was in the circus with Michu.
Michu
was about that height.
Right, but he's not
didn't
a known
wear clown makeup
and not a known pedophile.
I don't wear clown makeup.
I think the number of people who are or are 2 feet tall is small enough, so to speak, that you should be able to keep track of them without having any sort of pedophile list. Okay, we're talking clown sex. I'm very sorry to all of Newfoundland. We're wrapping it up tomorrow. Whole fresh show. We'll take more calls. This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, the one who doesn't and never has cut his hair with a Flo-Bi, and Michael Goudeau, who was once forced by his boss, Lance Burton, to do some Flo-Bi hairstyle.
Is that harassment?
A guy wrote in, you know, and said that he's very glad that we told him that the Flo-Bi was for cutting hair, because now that explains his, what do you say?
I believe his penis injuries.
His penis injuries, yes. I thought maybe he had another modifier there. We'll have a modifier by tomorrow. This is Penn Jillette.